This is the Authentic Persuasion Show.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the first guest conversation of the Authentic Persuasion Show in Season 6. I'm so glad that you're here. So glad that you're joining me for this on this, the Authentic Persuasion journey that we're on. I've gone back to going to guest conversations in these episodes. Obviously, that's why you're here. And when I thought about that, there was only one person that came to mind instantly and was like, you need to get this person on here. He needs to be guest number one in Season 6 with the new format. And that is Mr. Rita Alouche from EDM Network. So why Rita? Well, because he is the godfather of call centers and performance marketing. And not just saying that, like, he's earned that title. His company and his network of call centers and people underneath that have over 4,000 seats worldwide and has become a leader in 27 verticals, you know, from things like insurance to finance to home services. And he knows what he's talking about. He's all about supporting call centers, supporting his network. And I am excited to have him here and to have him as a friend in this relationship within business. So, my friend Rita, welcome to the Authentic Persuasion Show.
I appreciate you, Jason. As always, it's a pleasure and honor to be with you. And thank you for the intro.
Yes, well, and thank you. I mean, we're going to dive into the business side here, and there's a bunch of things that I want to go through. If anyone is a longtime listener to the show, normally my conversations are very free-flowing and it's kind of all over the place. I'm doing something different, especially with you on the show and what I want to do in Season 6, which is there's some questions I just want to ask, the kind of things that are common topics, things that pop up. And then just so that everybody knows, because this is the first time doing this, as soon as we're done with this, we're going to stop the recording and then we're just going to keep talking on a different recording. So it's going to be a little after show. So if you want to hear more about Rita's background, I know there's a bunch of stuff that he and I are going to chat about and see where that free flows. But let's start, because you have so much going on, so many things. For some people out there, to imagine having 4,000 seats or over 4,000 seats over so many different verticals, and this is like in the U.S., this is countries all over the place. What has been like the keys? Can you narrow down to keys for success at scaling this kind of an operation?
Yeah, I think the main key is structure. You know, is to have the right structure. And, you know, to just plan and allocate, like, you know, allocate the resources that you would need. Because, you know, finding all of these people all over the world, it's not easy. So we had to do a lot of research to allocate all of these people where they are, what's their strength, what's their weaknesses, make them believe in who we are, what we do. And then, you know, we invested a lot of money in automation so we can automate everything between all of these call centers so that everything is congruent, working together. And then we started finding the right people to delegate and make sure that, you know, they are not only managing all of these call centers together, but, you know, delegating who needs to be where and what. And then I would say, you know, The main thing that we have done is finding the right people who are expert in things that we're not expert at, and then put them in those places. I think, you know, as any business owner, you know, when you see that there is somebody out there who knows things better than you, just hire them. You know, if you have humility and you don't have an ego, this can work, because managing all of these call centers, you know, in the U.S. and overseas, it is not easy. But having the right structure, you know, made it easy for us. And, you know, hopefully we are trying to grow too.
I love that advice. I think, you know, getting the right people on board and what you said about being humble resonates. It's what I've always seen from great leaders, especially great business owners, is they're not afraid of hiring people who are smarter and better than them in what is, you know, somebody's good at. Instead of feeling threatened by it, right? And it sounds like that's kind of the key. What's the, you know, that's your plan, right? Is the structure. What are the biggest challenges you face in scaling all of this?
It's finding the right people. You know, it's always finding the talent, because remember when I talk to people, right, no matter what their position is, you know, and we have over 30 positions in our company, you know, I always tell them, look, you know, the way I approach this, me as an entrepreneur, you know, I said, I want you to become the entrepreneur of your position, not just entrepreneur like everybody says. You know, there's an entrepreneur. For me, that doesn't mean nothing. What I do is that I hire someone and say, look, this position is yours. You are the CEO of this department, and I will give you all the resources that you will need to make sure that you're successful. Sometimes the issues that we are facing is finding that person with that right mentality to have that business owner character, meaning, okay, I'm taking this position, you know, this becomes my department, I am the CEO of my own department, I can get it done. We do hire people, and then once they're within that position, sometimes their thinking is off. Sometimes their mind is not where I want it to be, as far as, you know, being humble with the people underneath them, respect the people underneath them, because I always tell my managers and general managers, you are no one and nobody beside the person underneath you. So you should put them above you, because remember, someone is out there to lift you up. That's how you're up. If they go underneath you, you're just going to crumble like dominoes. I was lucky enough to find good people, but I would say my main issue right now is finding those people who just like are humble, people who love to do what they do and just respect people they work with.
Yeah, that is a challenging intersection, especially because what you want is that person you can also empower, like you said, who is essentially a CEO, entrepreneur of that position, and finding someone with those traits that could also be empowered that way, that's not already on their own, and can work in a team. Yeah, I could see that being difficult. When it comes to like systems, because anyone who knows me is I'm all about scalable systems and processes and structure to help support the team, not to replace or make everyone into robots. What some of the biggest challenges when you looked at that, where you're like, all right, we have to put things in place if we're going to grow to do the scale worldwide like you're doing, you know, what was some of the things you ran up against or still maybe even run up against?
Yeah, I would say that, you know, my other half, which is Jamal English, my business partner, you know, he's very, very smart when it comes to that. So from the beginning, you know, he and I, we agreed that we have to hire someone that has so much expertise, and we have to bring in someone that has so much expertise in putting systems together. So someone who has done systems for large companies. And we knew that it wasn't going to be easy. We knew that it's going to come costly. But, you know, if we want to be, you know, have a $1 billion company, we need to invest from the beginning, because, you know, if you don't do that, you will never reach your goal. So we've done a lot of research, and we did find that some, system analysts and system producers were within this large company. So we reached out to some of them who worked for American Express, and they set up all the systems of integration, automation, like, oh yeah, like, you know,
wow.
So our, you know, our main operations manager right now, you know, she was managing all of the systems of American Express. So, you know, we have our BI team, which is business intelligence team. That's all they do. They look at what we are doing and they say, okay, we need to make this, we need to create a system for this so that anybody can come and plug in, and the system that's stable. So we have very, very, very smart people. That's what helped us to become who we are today. If not, you won't be able to do that. You know, to have systems in place of the QC, the business intelligence, the quality control, the talk time, the data evaluation, and have all of these teams following the system that is working with one another as a clock, you know. And, you know, I would say that's what really helped us, is their expertise, because we would never be here without them.
Let me ask you this, because I know you and I know Jamal, and you know we go to a lot of the same conferences together. We've spent time together. Are you that system person? Like when things get started or things are happening, like is your brain more on the entrepreneur visionary side or the systems operation side?
I would say systems operation side. The businesses that wanted to grow, the CEO and the president must become irrelevant to the company. If they need to leave tomorrow for 6 months or a year, which, you know, that we'll be doing for, we'll talk about later on, but the system works. So you have to have a system in place of checks and balances where the CEO and the president are not needed at any time. Why? Because the system is in place to navigate, you know, whatever is needed. So I'm definitely against any CEO who they have to make that decision, and you have to have the right people underneath you that knows what needs to be done.
Yeah. As a CEO, what's your default kind of like focus or mode that you like being involved with when it comes to the business?
I think
visionary.
I think me personally, I would say the vision. I would say the resources. I would say growth, because you know me and Jamal, you know, like everything in life has two pieces, right? You have a night, you have a day. You have a left, you have a right. Right? You have a high, you have a low. Coin, right? You have the front, you have the back, right? So everything has twos. God made us with two eyes, right? Two ears, two holes in the nose, two lips, two sets of teeth. Two hands, right? 2 feet, right? He knows that God knows that for you to become balanced in life, you have to live in the twos. He creates, you know, man and woman, right? So God knows what needs human to have the right balance in life. I would say that me and Jamal, the balance that we have in these twos, we would never have achieved what we achieved today by myself, nor Jamal by himself. So I would say me personally, The key is the potential of growth, you know, work with all of these call centers congruently to make sure that, you know, everything is done the way we need it to be done, especially the way we set up all of these call centers in our data, dialer, VoIP, so we can control all the compliance and make sure that all, you know, make sure that, you know, we have a plan for the next 60 days and 90 days for potential growth. And me and Jamal say, okay, Rita, this is your piece and this is my piece. And we work congruently together to make it done. I don't want someone to call me and say, hey, you know, I need to make this decision. I'm like, no, check, the system is there. Because, you know, when it comes to traffic and work and stuff like that, the system is there. But when it comes to, let's say, a CEO of a company or a president of a company or general manager of a company, or anyone says, hey, I need to speak to Rita or Jamal, anyone, you know, a mechanic, anyone, hey, I need to speak to him. My line is open 24/7, because at the end of the day, in the eyes of God, we're all equal. You know, like it's not the status in this business that makes you who you are, but the humbleness and greatness of your heart.
I love it. And I completely agree. And I can see that with you and Jamal. And part of the reason why I asked that question, kind of already knowing, because I know you guys, is the fact that the company you've built, the machine you've built, is so structured around structure and systems and processes and things to scale, like you said. But that's not your default mode. Your default mode is the visionary side and the relationships and the resources. And I love hearing that you've embraced that. You've got Jamal, obviously, and then you guys together are you know, bringing in the resources needed. I, you know, like yourself, I meet business owners and people who they're just not systems people, and then their company has no systems, and it's constantly in turmoil and in flux, which is never a good way to be. I was going to ask you what the most surprising part of building the current business is. And I guess what I'd like to know instead is for where you're at now, like, how was that transition with systems and processes? Was that something in the beginning you guys decided, like, you had to do this? Or did you get to a certain point where you're like, oh my gosh, we need a lot more?
Yeah, I believe, you know, you start a business with an idea. and then you know, and then you give it all, and then you don't know what's what, you know, you don't expect, you know, like fast and quick growth. When me and Jamal we started, you know, we started very very small, you know, but you know, like people always say, you know, dream big. You know, I don't believe in that, because God made us dream when we sleep. Unless you are, you know, a sleepwalker, dreams don't pay your bills, you know. So it's like, you know, we have to put the system in place. We have to implement it. You know, we have to game plan for it. We have to have the business plan, and then we have to focus on what we have to do in the short term. In the same time, we have a vision of the long term. So at the beginning, you know, we knew what needs to be done, but we didn't expect that fast of growth. You know, just because I think that we knew what was needed, we knew what was in the marketplace, we knew what was the weakness of the marketplace, and we focused on, you know, how to strengthen, you know, our side to elevate that, and by doing so, we have grown so fast. I would say even in the first 1 or 2 years, we have grown so fast, we had to have and put systems in places, because we know we struggle. Because, mm-hmm. you know, you hire, you know, I remember when we started, me and Jamal, we had 3 employees, you know, and then, you know, of course we are, you know, we started way, way back, you know, as insurance agents, and then having an insurance agency, and, you know, we knew what was our income. And then when, you know, you have to hire people, you know, and open call centers, now you're looking at, okay, my monthly expense is like, you know, $70,000 a month. You know, that was the beginning. You'd be like, wow, I mean, you know, that's, I never expected I'll be seeing that. And then you started working and growing. You'd be like, well, I have to double that, because the business is growing so fast. And then once you see, like, you know, your monthly, you know, expense, you'd be like, wow, I have never, ever, ever dreamed of doing something like this. So as we were growing, we understood at the beginning that we cannot do this on our own, because we just limited our capacities. We needed more bandwidth. And by doing so, we hired the right people, you know, who have a lot of expertise. We, you know, I mean, I've seen a lot of people that I have seen talent on them that they haven't seen. And, you know, I just said, I know you can do this position. Let me teach you how to do it. You know, give it all. And right now they are managing a lot of people. Now, when you have an office of, you know, like 30 people in personnel, in business, you know, business intelligence, QC, you know, we wouldn't have done it without that system in place. And we knew that from the beginning.
I love it. And I can appreciate what you said about the dreaming big part, right? And dreams don't pay the bills. I see that a lot with entrepreneur wannabe or types that, you know, they're dreaming big and they're thinking big, and then they don't have the substance to back it up. And I can imagine what that's. I can't imagine personally, but I can imagine what that feeling is like when you're looking at that payroll and you're just like, okay, let's just, you know, keep going on faith, right? Because it's working. We just need to keep growing.
Yeah, and you know, like when you were talking about, you know, entrepreneurs wannabe, you know, I always tell people, in one can, all can. If one person can do something, everybody can do it. But the truth of the matter is that, you know, if one can, that one had something in him or her to get it done. Yeah. And it's very hard to implement that or to do that and then implant it in some other people, hoping that the switch will click one day. Because you see it everywhere. You know, I'm an entrepreneur. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm a master. I'm a guru. At the end of the day, if you don't do this and start working like 7 days a week and work really, really hard, you will never work.
Yeah. I think that's so true. So a lot of things have changed in the world. I'm not even just talking about the pandemic, but customers, consumers, how their habits have changed, you know, and what their expectations are. What's your biggest focus right now on building and maintaining a world-class sales experience, both internally for your teams and then externally for what the consumers are experiencing with, you know, the brand that you have?
Yeah, if you look at the best, I would never like to use the word salespeople, right? Because we sell each other. Like when we meet, you and I, we talk to each other. I'm selling who I am. You're selling who you are, right? So, so I wouldn't talk about on the side of being of sales, but you know, making yourself available to the need of the person you're speaking to for whatever they need. Because, you know, in all of our call centers, right, we have a lot of Medicare call centers, funding expense call centers all over the United States, as you know. And I'll go do a tour and I will tell all of them, you know, don't approach this as you are selling a product, because you are just helping the need of somebody, of whatever they need. Don't be too pushy. Mm-hmm. Don't talk too much about sales and business. And just imagine, I always told this to all of my people, imagine that you are calling your mom and dad, right? And you have something that you can offer them, and talk to them as if they are your mom and dad. Because you know that sometimes your mom and dad do not need something. So don't push it on them. Don't force it on them. And
yeah, I think that's great advice. Yeah.
Yeah, and because I was working as a funded expense agent years ago, you know, when I used to do $20,000-$30,000 a month, and my upline, which was MIA, he goes, numbers, you know, you're going to crush this, you're going to do this. And I was just a money guy. You know, I need to beat the guy next door. I want to be number one. And now, you know, looking back at it, like, what was I doing? Why did I listen to that? Why didn't I just go as like service, and help people, talk to people, and try to, you know, help them with whatever they need? Like, I see right now in the marketplace a huge struggle in sales. And I would say because of major pieces. One is saturation, because now in this product, everybody's trying to sell everything to everyone. Right. In the old days, you had like people who are, you know, competing against one another. And then you have these funds who went out there and they start buying companies, which is, I think it's a good idea. But now there is saturation. So these people right now are getting 20, 30 calls a day to the point where they're not picking up the calls anymore. Now, how can you break that cycle? How can you service someone that is not picking up the call for you to service them? How can you reach out to that person? That's why we don't do that. We don't call anyone. They call us. They reach out to us. So I would say in a lot of, you know, because a lot of presidents and CEOs, you know, they go and have a retreat and chit chat. And I would say the number one issue right now that they're having is connectivity with clients, because they have been forced and pushed, and you know, they will get a call on a Medicare or funded expense or Obamacare or, you know, traditional healthcare or roofing or, you know, home improvement or auto insurance, health insurance, you name it, right? And they get tired of it. So I think that right now people are tired of salespeople calling them. And they are smart enough right now to go out online and do some research and find what they want and apply for it themselves.
Yeah, completely, completely agree. It's totally different now what people expect, what they'll tolerate, and what they're really, truly looking for, which you said what I've been preaching now for a while, which is sales being service, right? It's about being of service. How do I just help people? You help people, and that will convert into sales and revenue and success. Kind of going back to the systems process as part of the sales experience, the sales operation, what's been the single biggest, most valuable thing that you've put into place in the past 12 months?
I would say softwares. And if I put two, just like I was saying earlier, everything in life comes on twos. I would say softwares.
Yeah.
Software integration. Everything is a software. Anybody can go to their, you know, computer, or they can go to their phone. They log in. They see everything that we are doing and what's up and what's down and, you know, what is the weakness we can lift there up. And, you know, I would say software. integration, which is, you know, that's what changed the game for us. It cost us a lot of money, but it's worth it. I would definitely say software.
Yeah, I can imagine that too, because especially as people grow their organizations, I see a lot of times where people are buying lots of different solutions, sometimes being sold lots of different solutions by very successful salespeople who are good at selling you on why their stuff is needed. And then you end up with this mishmash of different tools, and then it's about integrating them, bringing them back together, making them work together.
100%.
What do you see as the focus for the next 12 months? Like, where do you see things going?
I would say expand our portfolio to some verticals that we haven't done before, which we just started and we plan for it right now. There are like 5 different verticals that we're going to push. And, you know, trying to expand in the United States, because we do hire a lot of veterans, a lot of single moms. You know, we try to reach out to those who are in need. And me and Jamal, we have a goal of, you know, 10,000 people. You know, we are 60% away from that. I think, as you know, we are doing our world tour. I think the key is to offer the right platform for people that they can believe in and make a living and have and sustain a job for a long period of time, is having security and stability. So on the business side, I will say expand our portfolio on a lot of verticals that we haven't done, and approach them the right way. On a personal, I would say is to reach out and help as many people as I can with a good paying job so they can provide for their families.
I love it. Final question during our segment here. If you had to start over, so EDM Network, something changed, you start over, or you hit your exit that you're going for, you start over, what would you do first based on everything that you've learned, like when it comes to the sales operations, the systems, the programs?
As you've heard, you knew that we were approached with a big number, and I said no, because I cannot sell my baby for no matter what money they want, because it's not about the money. We all, you know, God has blessed us. We all have money. So if I exit, EDM is in somebody else's hands, what would I do next on my own in the
what would you, like, if you started a new sales operation, what would you do first if you're starting over from scratch with a new sales system, sales machine?
I would say more training, and I would say hire Jason Carter and say, here, I'm gonna put you up front. And, you know, I would say, here, these are my managers, these are my assistant managers, they are my GMs, because I've known what you have done with a lot of companies. You know, I think that you bring a lot of value. So the first thing I would do, because back then I didn't know you, if not, I would have done it, is to hire someone in your caliber and make sure to put a training program, you know, based on the needs of whatever department in sales, right? And then have that person, you know, run it and manage it, because as a president of a company, as a CEO of a company, as a general manager, it's really hard to train people. You just don't connect. But having the right person like yourself take over and say, here, this is yours, these are all the employees, this is my target, this is what I'm trying to reach, go ahead and do it. So if I'll start all over again, I will focus in doing other things and hire someone like you that takes over all the sales and the trainings and so on.
Well, I appreciate that. And on one side, I hope that doesn't come, because I don't want you to part with your baby. But if it ever does, you know, I'm here to help you for sure.
And remember, it's one of my 5 babies. You know, we have EDM Network. We have Senior Benefit and Health Services with all the call centers. We have Get Insured for Life. For, you know, all of the health insurance that we do. We have, me and Jamal, we have the EA Holdings for all of the real estates that we do, and commercial real estate. So it's like, these are babies that we don't want to let go of. But, you know, that's why I told you earlier, it's not about the money. It's about being humble, you know, understanding that You came from nowhere, and that anyone that you have done, anybody can do it. And just understand that, you know, it's humbleness, man. It's just nothing. You know, just reach out to the person who is below you, lift them up. Anyone who wants to talk to you, talk to them. Anyone who needs your advice, give it to them, and make everybody believe that if you work hard, you know, you put God first, and then your parents, and then your vision, and then your hard work, it is impossible not to succeed.
I love it. That's a great place to finish out on. I know, Rita, you put a lot of amazing content out there. A couple of times we've been at events together, and you've just grabbed me and turned on the camera, hit record, and we've created some stuff out there. So you have a lot of content. I know one place you like people to go to if they want to just connect with you online, see what you're putting out there, go on LinkedIn. People listening or watching this, you can find Rita Alouche. It's A-H-L-O-U-C-H-E. If you just look Rita, R-E-D-A, you'll find him on there. And then we've mentioned it a few times, but edmleadnetwork.com is a great website to go for that if you want to learn more about that. But otherwise, find Rita on LinkedIn. He is super accessible. I will attest to that. If you message him, if you call him, if you email him, he is super responsive no matter where he is in the world, which is always the fun game when I call Rita. Hey, Rita, where are you in the world today? And then, you know, try to figure that out. So, Rita, thanks again. I appreciate you coming on here, sharing all this info, being part of the show, kicking off season 6, and also just being a supporter of what I do and how I help companies. You know, that part means a lot to me as well.
Yes, sir. Pleasure is all mine. It's always a pleasure talking to you. You do bring a lot of value in this industry. We're looking forward to watching all of your shows, as I always do. And, you know, because we're all students of the game, and, you know, I learn from a lot of people you speak to. And, you know, I appreciate you, and looking forward to doing bigger things with you.
Yeah, thank you. And for everyone tuning in, I appreciate you being a part of this journey and my goal of shifting sales from being a dirty word to something the world actually trusts, respects, and looks forward to engaging with, also while helping you all close more deals and make more money. Until the next time, thank you for helping fill the world with authentic persuaders.